Welcome to Comic Book Debate. We're the Faruqi brothers, Shiraz, Zian, Umar, and Samir. And today we're joined by a very special guest, CEO and co-founder of the social network Vero, Ayman Hariri. Ayman, how are you?
Great.
Awesome. So, you know, for those of you guys who don't know, Ayman, you know, leading Vero, I know a lot of us, since you guys are following us, you're probably big fans of the Snyder Cut movement. You're probably already on Vero. And in that case, you know, the kind of social platform we're dealing with. It's something unique. It's something different. It's something that's really changing the game of how things have been going in this social networking world that we live in. There's so much stuff going on, but Vero has this kind of simplicity and almost like intuitiveness that makes it so enjoyable to use. So we're very excited to have Ayman on. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. We're going to be covering Vero, of course. We're going to be talking about DC Comics. We're going to be talking about the Snyder Cut. We're going to be talking about Zack Snyder. So there's a lot of stuff. You guys are going to be very excited to hear it. So let's get right into it. Samir, why don't you kick us off?
Launching a new social media platform must be incredibly difficult in today's market. Can you tell us a little bit about the origin story for Vero?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it really started with a conversation between me and the other co-founders, my best friend, and well, they're both two of my best friends. One happens to be my cousin. It was really centered around, you know, just how we felt existing social networks, you know, made us feel and how we were interacting with our friends. I got on late on online social. It was kind of purposeful. I felt like I'd be putting myself out there too much. And when I did finally get on, it really felt like it was the intention of the apps and the platforms were, you know, sort of more being put more as a priority than the experiences. And so the result of that, when I saw how my friends were using it, how the people that I ended up connecting had used it for quite some time before me, I could see a different behavior online than I would see in the real world. And I found that fascinating and really brought it down to how these platforms have been engineered to make people perform rather than just be themselves. And then, you know, on the other side, you know, it was more about showing off than sharing. So we wanted to create a platform that really brought it back down to basics, not put any ingredients into it that made you feel like you had to perform at all. We've seen people go from or come from other social platforms and they start to behave on Vero like they were behaving everywhere else, but then they start to behave sort of normally and be themselves. And I think that's the most gratifying part about all of this, is that the people that are on Vero that we interact with every day are very real. They're genuine. You know, they behave as themselves, and as you know, and the challenge that we face as a new social platform, you know, sort of gets put in our feeling that it's a challenge gets put in the background, because we feel like we're doing some good in the world. We're actually putting something out there that people want and is good for them.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you alluded to this a little bit, how the mission statement for Vero is actually, you know, starkly different from, let's say, a Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And, you know, what makes Vero such a content creator-friendly platform?
Well, I think, you know, that's a really interesting question. The way we behave as an organization, as people, has a lot to do with the friendly environment that we've created for artists and the creative market. We have a huge amount of respect for the creative process. I mean, we're, you know, when we're building something as complex, as big as a social platform, as you can see, there is creativity at every level of the organization. Being an engineer, you know, one doesn't say, well, if you're an engineer, you're creative. Well, actually, you need a lot of creativity if you're making something. You can't, even on the engineering side, to come up with solutions it isn't just ones and zeros. It isn't just something you download off the web. You have to figure out how somebody's going to use something, and then find all of the ways that things could go badly. And so, you know, there's so many elements of creativity there. So, from the engineering side all the way to, you know, our partnership side, we're very much in touch with the creative process and what it takes. And, you know, funny story, like before we released Vero into the world initially, that was really that moment of saying, okay, we're actually putting something of ourselves out there. And we very much know that music artists, filmmakers, anybody who's in the creative space, when they're putting something out there, as a creative product of theirs, you know, whatever it is, they're putting a piece of themselves out there. And so as an organization, as a team, different members of the team, we all understand that. And so when we're dealing with creators, when we're putting a feature into the app that shows somebody's work, we're thinking about that. We build that element into our process, whether we're dealing with a human being or we're just thinking about, well, what would artists want? And so, you know, you see nothing gets cropped, whether it's a movie poster, an album cover, a photo, a video. We're always thinking about how the highest quality experience looks like. And I think that's resonated whether we have an interaction with somebody or not. They see it as part of the app, and it's a stark difference from everything else out there.
And that's well said. And, you know, a lot of what you said kind of reminds me of how we, you know, approach comic book debate, even though it's a very kind of separate thing, but looking at things from, putting yourself out there and what that means and the kind of responsibility that comes with that, because everything you say now has a digital footprint. Everything you say will come back 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is what you did. This is who you were. So every step you take, especially publicly, is so important. And that's why when the four of us are doing stuff with Comic Book Debate, even though it's just for superheroes and stuff like that, we want to make sure that we're approaching it in a way that kind of dignifies who we are, but also kind of what we represent, whether it be our faith, whether it be our culture, whatever the case might be. We want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward at all times. And I think that's a big thing about Vero. You feel like from the top to the bottom, whoever's on the Vero team is putting everything of themselves in it to make sure it's like the best experience, and it comes through for the users. So I really appreciate that. And speaking on Comic Book Debate, I'm sure we can transition to superheroes, which our audience loves. So, Umar, what you got for us?
So, being a huge fan of superheroes and comic books, those who know you know this. My question is basically, where does that love stem from? And is there any specific movies and TV shows or comic books that kind of introduce you to the world?
Well, I mean, so I grew up in Saudi Arabia at the time, and in the 80s, it was a far, far away land, and getting comic books was an impossibility. I mean, it was very frustrating. We would get one book. You'd go through it and be like, oh my God, you know, what happens next? And the chances of you getting the next, the next chapter was going to be extremely unlikely. I mean, the most we, in terms of consumption, was, you know, TV shows, the equivalent of Saturday morning TV shows. In our case, it was Thursday morning, because Thursday and Friday was our weekend. So, we're very much introduced through the world of, you know, VHS and watching things that way, or through TV. And like everybody else, I think, you know, we were enamored by these characters, by these creations, just in terms of what they can do, the powers, you know, your imagination runs wild, you know, being able to fly or being able to do any of these things, these superhuman powers, is just, you know, it just captures the imagination of any kid. I know my kids, are very much into superheroes for the same reason. But I think for the few of us, or not few anymore, but you know, for those of us who still, it means something to us as we grow older, is because we see beyond just, you know, the superpowers, but the decisions, the, you know, the self-sacrifice, the willingness to do good. I mean, you think about it, these superheroes, you know, they could just own anything and everything around them, right? But what did they choose to do? They choose to help people. They choose, you know, to not have a real life that they can really enjoy, because most of the time they're helping everybody else. And I love that idea. I love that idea that, you know, for those who have any kind of ability to help others in this world, that's the path that they choose. And, you know, and I grew up with a dad, God rest his soul, that really, you know, he strove to be successful as a businessman, but in his entire time, he could not rest purely on the idea that he was successful financially, that he had to do things for others. I mean, this is a man who put, you know, 30,000 kids through college and changed the generation, like didn't allow a generation to be lost to a civil war. And so that's the environment that I grew up in. And you know, just to, I mean, I can give you, I've got a drawing here. This is something that was put together that was made by an artist that, you know, does the drawings in the papers, you know, that you see. Sorry, I've got a lot of...
That's awesome. No, I can see it. We can see it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's basically my dad as Superman. And it says over here, it says Super Hariri. And it's him carrying universities, schools, hospitals above the rubble of you know, a war-torn country. And this was hanging on my wall, you know, and so superheroes always have played a part in my life in one form or fashion. And I was lucky to be the son of a, you know, what's considered a hero in this part of the world.
That's awesome. And definitely super inspiring story. I think our audience definitely get a lot from that. I mean, everyone can kind of be a hero in their own way, no matter what few resources you have, whether you have a lot or you're little, you can make changes either in your own families, your own communities, wherever the case might be. So that's very inspiring and very awesome. And we definitely agree as lifelong superhero fans ourselves that, you know, there's so much you can get out of it. And what you get out of it as a kid is different than what you get out of it as an adult. And even though your tastes and sensibilities change, you still gravitate to the same heroes, but just for different reasons. I find that very interesting about them. But, you know, let's move on and talk about your collection. I mean, your collection of comic books are famously known. Like, you have some of the best stuff that any fan's wildest dreams would be owning: Action Comics, Detective Comics 27, all like the number ones of each hero. Tell me how that all came about, and like, when did you start thinking, you know what, let me start collecting these?
Yeah, look, I've grown up loving these characters, and I started actually collecting statues. As you can see behind me, I mean, the camera, this angle doesn't do it justice. I've got quite a few around me here, but yeah, it really started there. I mean, I like a lot of us, when eBay started, I was scouring eBay looking for a cool statue here and there. And then, you know, I thought to myself, actually, wouldn't it be cool just to own like just a few of the original comic books? And I started doing my research there, and I came across Metropolis Comics in New York, and just gave them a call and just started talking to them. And they just, you know, they really gave me an education. I was really fortunate to have come across Steven and Vincent there, who, you know, are just, you know, the most honest people, you know, that I know, period. And just are really, they're really in it for the passion. And I just started, you know, getting really interested in the idea of owning some books. And just one thing led to another. I didn't set out to own that many books. It wasn't the idea. I just wanted to have a piece of history. And And I love the idea, just in terms of the design aspect of it. Like when you think about it, when you're designing something, whether it's a phone or, you know, a device or a piece of software or, a building or anything, if it can stand the test of time, that's a great design, right? And you think about these characters that were created by people and that haven't changed, not really. You know, very few of them have, if any, if at all, right? I mean, you look at Superman, you look at Batman, you look at Wonder Woman, you look at Supergirl, Green Lantern, these ideas, these stories that were written back then still resonate with us today. And so where they come from is extremely, like, it's just awesome, like that part of human storytelling, right? And then even the designs of their costumes haven't changed that much. I mean, obviously there are, let's call them modern interpretations of, and you know, there's the stuff around underwear on the outside and on the inside, that kind of stuff. But I mean, everything else, it remains pretty much the same. And so this is a, you know, you're talking about things that have lasted decades. And I find that amazing, amazing. And so it's almost like a human truth. You know, I always say, like, okay, so math, I believe math is discovered. It's not, you know, it's not invented. It's discovered, right? It's a truth that's out there, ready to be plucked, ready to be discovered. Music is the same to me, since it's got rules. So music is pretty much it's a truth that's waiting to be discovered. And so these stories are a kind of truth. If we all love them and we are enjoying them more and more and more and we can't get enough of them, I feel like it's a human truth. And so, you know, the comic book collection that I have, really, I didn't set out to do that. I didn't set out to own that many comic books or anything like that. It was purely coming from just wanting to own a piece of history. And I'm in a very fortunate position to have both have the means, but also I the means is not enough. Trust me. You could say you wanted to build a collection and, you know, you spend the rest of your life trying to do it. But I was lucky enough that these books came my way and I just love them so much and appreciate them that I decided to own them. And it was it's really been fantastic. And I'm really, the way I look at it is something that I'd like to leave for my kids, you know, both as something that is meaningful to me and a great investment. So.
Well said, well said. And, you know, speaking of, you know, superheroes and collections, you also had a chance to kind of meet different content creators, different people in the business. So, Umar, why don't you shift us gears and take us there?
So, what's your relationship like with Zack Snyder? How did it start and has it evolved? You know, you had a small cameo in Batman and Superman. I would ask if you have a cameo in Justice League, but if you did, it got cut. And if you didn't, they could probably put it in now.
Yeah, no, I don't have a cameo in Justice League. But in terms of, yeah, so Zach is a very close friend. I'm very proud to say that. He's one of the way I describe Zach is he's effortlessly cool. Like everything that the guy does is just amazing. And it always comes from a good place. He's got a really big heart, and he applies that honesty to everything that he does, whether it's friendships and certainly in the creative, world that he lives in. I've been a part of a lot of charity auctions in the past, and I happened to be on a site that where there was this auction to get on to the movie, like have a part. I had to read it probably 6 or 7 times to believe what I was seeing. And I won the auction, and I really love any relationship that has started in my life, and I've started a lot of great relationships with fantastic people through charity auctions. And it's a wonderful way to start a relationship, is actually on the basis, you know, on doing some good in the world, you know. And I happened to win that auction, and yeah, got to be on the set. But what happened was, I don't know why. You just don't know what you're going to expect when you meet people, right? I mean, for the first time, you hear about them, you know what they've done, but meeting them in person, you don't really know what makes them tick. And I don't do the thing where I go online and I start reading every single thing that I could possibly, because that's not, that I don't believe in that. You know, I don't want people doing that about me, and I wouldn't do that about anybody. I heard great things about Zach through people that he knows and that we mutually know, but very, very little. But when I came onto the set, I actually had my books with me. Like, I just figured, you know, I'm good. Batman vs. Superman, I should bring some books, you know, just as a whatever. And then the level of excitement from everyone, from Zach to, you know, the people working on lighting, makeup, everybody was excited. They weren't just working on a movie. They were working on something that they were super excited about. Sorry, I used the word super. You know, but it was a phenomenal moment for me to see that, because it showed how genuine their love for what it is that they were making, you know, was and still is. And so, you know, the relationship I have with Zach is one of the, you know, is one of the most treasured, you know, things that one of the things in my life that I treasure the most. Being able to, you know, call Deborah a friend, and being able to, you know, meet their kids and their kids meet my kids, and having that relationship is such a special thing for me. And I never imagined, when I was reading that auction and winning, you know, and trying to win that auction, that would be, you know, that I would receive the greatest gift that I could possibly, you know, ask for. Yes, I've been a part of a movie that I cared about, that I care about, you know, being a part of, and that means a lot to me. But the relationship that I ended up, you know, having at coming out of that movie, you know, including with Clay, that's where I met Clay for the first time. And then eventually I met his wife, Christine, you know, so many amazing people. That to me is, you know, it's such a special thing for me.
Well said. And, you know, speaking of Clay as well, Clay is someone we consider a friend. We had dinner with him a couple of times, met Christine as well. So we definitely speak on your character, and same with Zach. You know, we never had a one-on-one with Zach, but anytime Zach had a chance to support us, he was doing it. He was saying, you know, either he would say, you guys are the best, or he would say little encouragements over the years. Oh, you guys are the dream team. And saying that keeps us going. We're like, yo, if Zach Snyder is saying that, let's keep doing this 110%. So we get to, like, he helps even people he doesn't know. He's always willing to extend a hand and help out and even come on a few of our projects. So we definitely see what you're saying there.
Yeah, and he really does that for things he believes in, guys. I mean, you know, I don't know him to ever feel that he needs to do something that he just doesn't believe in. And so, you know, what you guys are building is great, and if he's encouraging you, it's a great song.
So obviously the movement ended up kind of growing and finding a home on Vero, which I thought was very fascinating. And it's not just because Zach was there. It's like the way people, the fandom came together on this platform. And even now, like, at least on our timelines, you know, people who are in the movement, you're scrolling and there's so much positivity for not just Zach, but for the movement, for his movies. And obviously, it would be stupid to say that the Snyder Cut, that Vero didn't have a hand in that, because the fact that everyone came together on this platform, it made such a big difference when it came to organizing, when it came to campaigning, when it came to bringing it all together. So what's your take on all that? Because I'm sure when you created Vero, that wasn't 100% going to be like, oh, this is going to happen. So when you started seeing this community build, what was your kind of live reaction?
When, when people discovered that Zach was actually using Vero and posting behind the scenes images, that was the first hint of things to come. And I always tell people, you know, who ask me, how do you want to help? How can we help grow Vero? I tell them, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's just use it. Use it and make people understand that this is a home for you online, as Zach has done. Because it's not so much the content. People talk about the content probably about 20% of the time, 80% of the time they talk about his behavior, that he's on there, that he's actually there answering or commenting or putting things, you know, talk about how he feels or about something or, you know, things related to charities that he's involved in. And so, certainly the fact that the comic book community have chosen Vero as a home for themselves, to me it's a great honor. I can't ask for more. Like, you know, at the end of the day, when people trust you with some, we're sitting here as designers and engineers putting together software from a place, whatever, we're spread around the world, but it's from a place that we behind a wall, let's say, and we're putting that out there into the world and people are using that and trusting us. That's a huge honor. And I think if we lose sight of that, we get lost. And I think that that's something that, it's part of what anybody who's making anything and putting it out into the world should always remember that. At the end of the day, people who are choosing to use your product, and if you treat them with respect, then you're at the level of, you know, of the responsibility of that honor, really. So for us, all of us, the fact that the Snyder Cut, the fact that Vero had any part to play in the Snyder Cut actually happening is it's beyond words for us. You know, I mean, it, unfortunately, because of coronavirus, we can't see each other, but we'd be high-fiving each other every 2 seconds on this. But it was an incredible moment when Zach announced it, and we were just utterly, inside we were just exploding all the time. Like, just, we knew about it, and we were helping, you know, to create the event and things like that, but. You know, we were so excited. We didn't sleep for a week. I mean, we couldn't tell anybody else. We knew, a few of us knew about it, and it was just it's a moment we'll never forget. And I want to thank, you know, anybody and everybody who's chosen Vero as a home for themselves, to, you know, whether it's to follow Zach or to interact with each other and share their passion. You know, it's really a big thank you to them, because we're only as good as the users that we have, and the users that we have are amazing people.
So speaking of products and respecting products, or not respecting products, did you actually get a chance to see the theatrical cut of Justice League that was actually released to the public? Is that something that you watched, or
did I watch the theatrical release? Yeah, I did. But here's the thing, I saw it once. I've never seen a single, like
most people, superhero
movie, only one. Usually, while I'm watching a superhero movie, I can't wait to see it again. You know, I remember, this is bar none, like, this, not a single movie, this one, I barely could get through watching it the first time. It was, yeah, there are just things in it that I didn't connect, you know, and my kids were excited to see it, and we couldn't not see it. So, you know, we did end up seeing it in the theaters, but I haven't seen it since. I can barely remember any parts of it. So I'm looking forward to the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, same. Zion, you want to take that last one?
All right, sure. So I guess jumping back to Vero, can you tell us a little bit about what's next for Vero? Are there any big changes or new features going to be added?
Yeah, without talking in too much detail, because everything that we do seems to be copied by others. No, there's a lot coming. We're a small team, but we're a mighty team. I've seen the just all the members of the Vero team, you know, putting their hearts and souls into what's coming next. We're always going to be looking at making updates. We have a fairly big one that we're working on, but be assured that what we're always trying to do is make sure that we're not falling into the trap that has led us to where we are today in social media. I mean, if you think about it, you know, when's the last time anybody said anything good about social media? You ask most people, what do they think about social media? And they'll say, you know, it's not great. You know, there's not a nice feeling about it these days. And I think it's because it's turned into social media, when originally it was social networking. And that's what attracted people to it. And what we're striving to do is whatever feature we're working on, whatever design, whatever thing we're putting in, we're trying to make sure that it doesn't turn bad for you, you know. And it's kind of like making a, you know, I keep thinking about it kind of like food, you know. Back in the day, I think we ate anything. You know, I remember eating anything when I was a kid, not knowing, you know, whether it was good for us or bad for us. And we should be thinking the same way about the software that we have on our phones, because it's living with us pretty much 24/7, certainly every waking moment, right? And so we're working on an update, but you know, hopefully it'll be as much of a message, you know, to the world, to the market, about what we're about and what we stand for. So. You know, for the loyal Vero users, you know, I want to thank them for all the feedback that we've gotten, and really just their willingness to help us build this thing. Because we always said from the get-go, this isn't something we can do by ourselves. We need help, and the most satisfying help we've gotten is the help of our users.
Well said. Well said. And definitely, guys, if you want to check out Vero, we'll have a link in the description. We definitely want you to download the app. We want you to join in if you haven't already. I know a lot of our subscribers have downloaded it already, but if you haven't, it's something we all definitely encourage you to do. And you can find, Amen, you can find all of us. You can find the Faruqi brothers by our name. And we're doing some exclusive stuff just for Vero. We're putting special stuff there as well. But inside look at how we do things, our process. And of course, Amen, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Actually, a fun story that I want to end this on was that back in 2017, right? So I just graduated college with my bachelor's degree, and I was in finance. So I was working as a financial advisor on Wall Street. So I thought, okay, this is where my career is going to go. You know, I'm a brown family. That seems to make sense, right? Everything, you know, there's certain only a few roles you can, you know, go into, a doctor, engineer, you know. So I wasn't enjoying it, and I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. And right away, I was like, this is not something I want to do. So I DM'd, for some reason, we were both connected, Amen and myself. So I DM'd him and I said, listen, give me some advice, because I'm not really feeling this financial thing, but I'm thinking I want to jump into a little bit of journalism and do something different. And I remember exactly, you told me kind of like, we had a phone call, a short phone call thereafter. And you explained to me that if you're something you're passionate about, then just jump right into it and put your 100% into that. And then literally, a month after that, I got my brothers and I together. I said, let's just start something. Let's start something different. let's jump in this comic book news media, because kind of like how social media has not many good things to say about it, there's not much good to say about superhero news media in general, because it's very clickbaity. A lot of it's done hate click wise, and that's probably across the board, but in our little sphere, we were noticing it a lot. So I said, let's try to do that, but do it differently. And then we launched Comic Book Debate, which was definitely kind of less on the news, more on the analysis, less about what top 10 things you hate, but top 10 things you love instead. And we really wanted to focus that as our mission statement. And then within 2.5 years, we're at the point today in 2020 where it's like, we have 3-4 charity events on our belt. We have a substantial YouTube presence, a podcast presence, a site presence. We did launch student workshops with different schools and bringing special comic book classes to these programs. So we've, looking back, I mean, I just want to say thank you, because if you didn't kind of give me that encouragement to jump head first and kind of leave that finance to pursue kind of my passion, and then in what ended up becoming our passion as brothers, I don't think we would have gotten this far. So definitely thank you for that, man.
Oh, touch wood, man. I mean, you guys are doing great. And yeah, when, you know, I was lucky early on in my life that I pursued my passion in tech. And this is similar to you, what you were saying before. I figured that I had to go to, well, I wanted to go to college, but that going to college meant going to business school and getting a business degree. Like, what else did you do? You either did that or a doctor or engineer. Right. And funny enough, like, I spent all of my time on computers, like all the time I was on a computer at a time when you had to fix everything. You had to figure out how to use it. You couldn't just use it. You had to fix it to use it all the time. And my, I remember my mother, you know, sort of just looking at me strangely, you know, I was, at a table fixing something, and she said, why are you in business school? Why aren't you in computers? You know, just very nonchalantly. And I remember the light bulb going off in my, you know, like, what? That's a thing? Is that possible? And so since then, I've you know, every day has been more like, you know, when I've been working in tech has been, more like I'm just doing my hobby, you know. It's like it's full of passion every day. So, you know, I'm glad your life has gone that way as well, and I wish that on everybody. You know, just follow your passions as much as you can.
Appreciate it, and we want to thank Amen so much for joining my brothers and I. We definitely said this was a long time coming, but we're happy to finally get you on board, and I'm sure our subscribers will love this conversation. Just a quick reminder that the Faruqi Brothers podcast is part of the Comic Book Debate Network. So if you're looking to support us, please give us a follow at Comic Book Debate at most social media platforms. Give us a follow at our personal names on Vero. Definitely visit our website for the latest news and analysis from a diverse team of writers. And of course, subscribe to us at Comic Book Debate on YouTube, iTunes, and Spotify for more Faruqi Brothers content. From myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, and of course our special guest, Ayman Hariri. This is Comic Book Debate. We'll see you next time. Peace out.